You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Got the word from Arden that she's in the air. I hope her arms are strong enough to carry her all the way to the flight up to New York. But she did give us Spencer. So we've got Spencer Levy. He's the chairman of America's Research and the senior economic advisor at CBRE. He's just finished the CBRE Southeast Outlook report. They launched it earlier this week. Spencer, tell me a little bit about the Southeast Economic Report. What's going on?
Well, Jim, good morning. Good afternoon. I will tell you the market could not be better in the southeastern United States. And specifically, South Florida shines along with it.
That's awesome.
And you know, it really comes down to three factors, and I look at this for every market I go to. Comes down to talent, infrastructure, and foreign money. And I would say on the latter front is an area where South Florida really shines. But I would say from an infrastructure standpoint, it is also improving materially. I was just down there 2 weeks ago, and I took the Brightline train from West Palm to Miami. Great experience. I was down there a month and a half ago, and I went to the groundbreaking for the Underline. So from the combination of talent, infrastructure, and foreign money, South Florida is doing tremendously well, and it has a very bright future as well.
Yeah, I think one of the things you didn't mention is how many kids graduate from college down here. We graduate a whole bunch of kids from college down here. In fact, Miami-Dade College is the largest college, I think, in the country by attendance.
Well, I did say talent, and talent comes from colleges and universities. And so I'm looking at different markets all over the country. You can look at Pittsburgh with Carnegie Mellon University, Boston with their great concentration of colleges. You can even look in Orlando with University of Central Florida, and Miami is certainly no different. The greater amount of your ability to A, create talent through the universities, or B, attract it with a live, work, play environment, puts you a leg up on all other markets.
Oh, yeah, and all of our submarkets here in South Florida are developing that vertical integration where you can do everything and never have to use your card. I think that's real important, too.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I think what you're talking about is walkability or not having to use your car in other ways. And that's a key factor we're looking at everywhere. And infrastructure certainly helps, but some of these interesting new technologies are helping, too. I go all over the country and see people in scooters. I was just in Columbus, Ohio, and they actually have automated cars on the streets in the city. So there's all kinds of new technologies that are making large cities more walkable.
Well, this is great, and I did want to mention that this is the Edge segment. It's the Edge by CBRE. We're going to be doing this monthly. Arden is usually going to be talking to us. She's given us Spencer today. It's all going to be real people delivering real advantages. That's what we're going to be doing. And again, I want to thank you for being here today, Spencer. Now, Spencer, what would you say, you know, about the trends for international capital flows? We've had this tariff thing. We've had this immigration thing. We have the OFAC looking at all the transactions over $1 million. So is it still a favorable environment for foreign and international investors here in South Florida and the United States?
Absolutely. And one of the things that may not be well understood by most folks in South Florida is that while Latin America does provide a great deal of capital to South Florida, most of your foreign money is coming from Europe. You have money coming from Middle Eastern capital sources. You have money coming from Asia. And so it's deep and it's diverse. And notwithstanding the fact there are some headline risks as you've laid them out due to tariffs and immigration restrictions, the money is still coming here. I will tell you that when the election of our president happened 2 years ago, that day I was on the phone with investors in the Middle East and in Latin America that were concerned. But by the end of the week, they had changed their tune because the U.S.'s economic picture is so strong, and many of these issues that you laid out regarding tariffs and immigration, while of concern, are certainly not stopping institutional money from coming into the market.
Now let's talk about the evolution of the business environment here in the United States. Everybody wants to talk about clicks, bricks. We're talking retail. I hear these buzzwords, industrials, the new retail, the next mile, the last mile. And, you know, what does all this mean, Spencer? And what does it really mean to just the average person?
Well, let me sum it up like this. The death of retail in bricks and mortar retail is the single most overblown story in my real estate career, other than that Y2K bug thing from 20 years ago. And the reason for that is very straightforward. Because good rooftops means you can still have good retail, meaning if you have a good local environment with wealth, young people, and other factors driving people to stores, while the types of stores you have may need to change to become more, quote, experience-based, so maybe it's more restaurants and gyms than it is apparel stores, you still can have good retail. I can point to several properties that had some troubled large retailers that have gone out of business that have then reformatted, are doing tremendously well. So bricks and mortar has a very bright present and future. That being said, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there are a bunch of new tenants, and the new tenants are rolling around, and I really think that one of the big new tenants that's going to be coming through is the, we'll just have to call it the wellness and technology industry that's related to medical cannabis and even recreational cannabis up in the Northeast and in the far West.
Well, that's certainly a small driver of some markets, and I would tell you that we did a study on Denver, which was one of the first markets to legalize marijuana, and it was a major driver of industrial more than it was of retail. Now, it did have some retail storefronts, but in industrial, in C industrial, it led to almost 50% of the positive absorption, or really the take-up of new space in that market. So really, that was a driver. You're also seeing other industries like that. Microbreweries are another driver as well. Sure. Into industrial space. But one of the new drivers into industrial space isn't necessarily directly e-commerce, it's what we call reverse logistics. And what reverse logistics is it's very simple when a good goes from point A to point B, but reverse logistics is when you return it going from point B back to point A, and that problem is enormous. In fact, during the holiday season, up to 30% of all goods purchased were returned, and many stores and retailers don't know what to do with it, which led to over 5 billion, with a B, billion pounds of brand new goods literally being thrown away and put into landfills because the retailers didn't know what to do with them.
Wouldn't doubt it. I bought some stuff that I had to return over the holidays on e-commerce. I mean, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I had never even thought about how do you go where does all this return stuff get collected? Now, let me ask you this. There's a whole bunch of multifamily fundamentals. I do a lot of multifamily. I just closed on my biggest multifamily transaction. I just sold what's here in Miami is the Wynwood Yard. I sold it to Lennar. Lennar is financeable today. So, you know, but there are people that are getting concerned about some of the dynamics in multifamily, but I don't think there's really that much of an issue. What do you think?
Well, I think you need to segment the market. So I don't know the asset that you just referred to, but the A market, the luxury high end of the market, is experiencing a little bit of softness because of a little bit of overbuilding. But if you go down further in the quality chain to B and C, so-called affordable, so-called workforce housing, there's a shortage of that type of housing, and we're still seeing very strong rent growth there, very strong demand there. So when you say multifamily, I like to segment it. And even in the A segment, where we are seeing perhaps some short-term overbuilding in certain markets, the long-term prospects for that are excellent, as we have completely shifted from being a buy culture to a rent culture, where the home ownership rate today is the same that it was 50 years ago. And that's due to both the after effects of the global financial crisis, the difficulty for people getting deposits, and the flexibility of living in a rental home versus a home that you own.
Now, I do want to ask you one other product segment before we go to break. I want to ask you about hotel. I sat down with a guy today. He goes, listen, I want to build a hotel. I said, okay, great. I said, what kind of hotel do you want? He goes, I don't know. So again, I got to believe that there's different segmentation in the hotel market, luxury, super luxury, select service, extended stay. What's going on there?
Well, the hotel market has been on a very strong run since the global financial crisis, and including in South Florida, where there's been a lot of new development, a lot of new supply coming out of the ground in 15, 16, and 17. And that has led actually to a little bit of short-term softness in ADR, or average daily rate, in some of the luxury end of the spectrum. But where we're still seeing greater strength is in some of the limited service, lower-end hotel product, because that's shown to be more durable for the leisure consumer. And South Florida has a wonderful economy because it has both a vibrant business community, but also, as everybody knows, has one of the most vibrant leisure traveler communities as well. So we see great opportunity in luxury, but a little bit of short-term overbuilding. It's really in the lower-end segments where we've seen stronger ADR, average daily rate, growth, at least in the last year or so.
It's time for us to take a break. Spencer, I'm hoping you can stick with us because I still want to talk to you about when does the music stop, how many chairs are left, all kinds of stuff like that. Can you hang with me a minute?
Delighted to stay here. Sure thing.
Oh, excellent. I want to remind everybody this is The Edge by CBRE. It's a monthly segment. It's led by Arden Carson, who's unfortunately traveling today and on a plane right now. We're going to be talking to real people. We're going to be delivering a real advantage across various industries in South Florida today. We're speaking with CBRE's Spencer Levy. He's the chairman of America's Research and the senior economic advisor. Will be back with more with Spencer. We're going to talk to him about economic conditions and how long this is going to last. So stick with us. We've got great info you'll be able to use in your business today.